Fifth Sunday, Year A in Lent. The readings, the first reading from Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 12 to 14. Second reading, letter to the Romans chapter 8, verses 8 to 11. The Gospel according to John chapter 11, verses 1 to 45. The first reading. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, thus say the Lord God, behold, I will open your grave and raise you from your grave, O my people, and I will bring you home into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your grave and raise you from your grave, O my people. And I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live. And I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, says the Lord. The second reading, and those who are in the place cannot please God, but you are not in the place, you are in the Spirit. If in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although your body are dead because of sin, your spirits are alive because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will give life to your mortal body also through his Spirit which dwells in you. The Gospel according to John. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, she said, this illness is not unto death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified by means of it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciple, let us go into Judea again. The disciple said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were but now seeking to stone you. And are you going there again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him. Then he spoke, and then he said to them, our friend Lazarus had fallen asleep, but I go to awake him out of sleep. The disciple said to him, Lord, if he were fallen asleep, he will recover. Now Jesus has spoken of his death, but they thought that he meant taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and for your sake, I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. Thomas, called the twin, said to his fellow disciple, let us also go, that we may die with him. Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him while Mary sat in the house. Mary said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, that Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, he who is coming into the world. When she had said it, she went and called her sister Mary, saying quietly, the teacher is here and is calling for you. And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Then Mary, when she came where Jesus was and saw him, fell at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jew who came with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled, and he said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. So the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he had been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not tell you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. I knew that you hear me always, but I have said this on account of the people standing by, that they may believe that thou didst send me. When he had said it, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hand and feet bound with bandages, and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, and by him let him go. Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and has seen what he did, believe in him. Sharing of the reading. The theme: God has power on both life and death. Human beings desire to live forever, but all must face death. Is that the end of everything? Many people think so, but the majority believe a human soul is immortal because it isn't made by material things like a human body. But the question such as, where will a soul be after that? Will the soul of the just and the soul of the wicked be in the same place? What does a soul do in the next life? Only the Catholic had the answers for the questions. Today's reading makes a transition from the Lenten atmosphere to the atmosphere of the resurrection and the eternal life. The passage in the first reading is the conclusion of the prophet Ezekiel's vision of the dry bone field. God has power to create and to recreate. God commanded Ezekiel to prophesy on the dry bone so they can connect with each other, have sinews to keep them together, and skin to cover them up, but not have breath yet to live. Then God give them his spirit, and they become living people. In the second reading, St. Paul compared the two lifestyles according to the spirit and according to the flesh. The lifestyle according to the flesh only lead people to destruction, but the lifestyle according to the Spirit shall lead people to life and the eternal life. In the Gospel, the author of the four Gospels reported a spectacular miracle which never happened before. Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead after 4 days in the tomb. He also revealed the dimension of the real life eschatology. Whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Alanisit, the first reading. You shall know that I am the Lord when I open your grave and raise you from your grave, O my people. The third point. The Jewish conception of Sheol. This name had many meanings. It can be a grave, an abyss, a dark place, or the abode of the dead. The Jewish conception of Sheol changed with time. At first, they believe Sheol is the place for all the dead, because all people must die. The Psalm 89, verses 47 to 48. Those who believe in God and keep his laws shall be blessed with prosperity, descendants, and long life. But when they die, they must enter into Sheol. When people enter it, they shall not be resurrected or returned to the earth. See Job chapter 7, verses 9 to 10. Those saw it a dark place. They believed God can see all people in there. Gradually, it became the plague of the wicked and the sinner who forsook God. This change might take place at the same time with the Jewish conception about eternal life. The author of some psalms and prophetic books likened the suffering life of the Israelite during the exile as living in the soul, and the return to their country at coming out of it. I am reckoned among those who go down to the pit. I am a man who had no strength, like one forsaken among the dead, like the slain that lie in the grave, like those whom thou dost remember no more, for they are cut off from thy hand. Thou hast put me in the depth of the pit, in the region dark and deep. See Psalm chapter 88, verses 4 to 6. Pit is understood as soul. Second point. Only God has power to lead people out of soul. The Old Testament mentioned many times of being brought out of the grave, the pit or soul. God has power to liberate those in soul when they pray to him. The prophet Ezekiel, who lived during the exile, continued the tradition when he prophesied. Thus said the Lord God, behold, I will open the grave and raise you from the grave, O my people. I will bring you home into the land of Israel. This passage belongs to the prophet Ezekiel's vision of the valley full of dry bones. In chapter 37, God commanded the prophet to prophesy twice. The first time is for the dry bone to connect with other bone. The second time is for the spirit to provide bread for the body to live again. In today's passage, God said, and I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live. We can see an allusion to the second account of God's creation of human beings in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. But why is the difference between the prophet's second prophecy and this time? It is very difficult to explain because in Hebrew, there is only one word, ruah, for wind, breath, human spirit, and the Holy Spirit. The important matter is to recognize God's power in the resurrection of the dead. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken, I have done it, say the Lord. When people see God open the grave and bring them out of it, they shall know he is the Lord, that none can do things like him. The prophecy was fulfilled when God let the Persian king, Cyrus and Darius, sign the decree to liberate the Israelites and to permit them to go back to their country from the exile. But most of the church fathers understood this vision at the last judgment day, when human bodies shall be resurrected and united with their soul for the divine judgment. Second reading, the lifestyle according to the Spirit versus the fleshly lifestyle. Chapter 8 of the letter to the Romans should be read together with chapter 6 and 7 because one people are liberated by Christ from slavery for sin, the law, and that they are free to live according to the Spirit. Many people misunderstood Paul as the advisor of a life in which people need only to believe in Christ to attain salvation and have no need to do good works. In chapter 8, St. Paul explained that people were liberated by Christ from their slavery for the flesh so that they are free to live according to the Spirit guidance. Third point, living according to the flesh. According to St. Paul, this is a lifestyle of those who completely live according to human passion, such as the greed of their eyes, the desire of their heart, and the passion of their flesh. Those who live according to this lifestyle are like the wild beasts, because they act according to their instinct. But people can act as such, because God created people with the soul, the intellect, and the free will to control all power of their body. St. Paul described this control as follows: but you are not in the flesh, you are in the spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. The Spirit of God is also Christ's Spirit who dwells in the soul of the faithful to guide and to empower them to live according to the truth. In opposition, and those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Second point, living according to Christ's Spirit. St. Paul lists three main prophets for those who are live according to the Holy Spirit. First, the Spirit helps people to live as human beings. If people live according to their passion, they live like all animals and shall be destroyed. But if they live according to the Holy Spirit guidance, they live as human beings according to God's intention when He created them and shall be remain forever. Second, the Spirit help people to become righteous. Since the law have no power to make people to become righteous, God give them His Spirit to help people to believe in Christ and to do what He teaches. Third, the Spirit shall raise people up from the dead. Paul said, if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will give life to your mortal body, also to His Spirit which dwells in you. The Gospel. Lazarus, come out. Today, Gospel chapter 11 is set in the background of Jesus' last days in this world. According to the structure of the four Gospels, Jesus' passion begins in chapter 13. In chapter 11, He raised Lazarus from the dead. This is the decisive factor because it leads to His passion and death. Jesus wants for people to see that if He had power to raise up a person from the dead, He also had power to rise up from the dead, as He foretold His disciples many times. Death had no power on Him. This miracle had a tremendous effect on the audience because they want to live and to live forever. Chapter 12 reports people's reaction of this miracle. It is the reason that the member of the Sanhedrin decided the death sentence for Him. See John chapter 11, verse 53, and also Lazarus, chapter 12, verses 10 to 11, because of Him. Many people left them to follow Jesus. The Pharisees became zealous when they see Jesus' influence on people, they said to each other, "You see that? You can do nothing. Look, the world had gone after him." Chapter 12, verse 19. We can analyze chapter 11 according to the five acts as follows. First, Jesus with his disciples. When Jesus heard of Lazarus' serious sickness, why didn't he go right away to him, but waited two more days to go? Some say because his hour isn't come yet. As when his mother urged him to do in the wedding at Cana, or his disciple urged him to go to Jerusalem. Others say because he wanted Lazarus to really dead and to have a stench so that nobody doubt about his power to raise up a person from the dead. The second opinion is more plausible due to what Jesus said later in verse 14. In the four Gospels, there are no three-time reports about the reaction of Jesus' disciples when he foretold them of what are going to happen to him in Jerusalem and in the Synoptic Gospel. This is the only time Jesus' disciples repented him when he wanted to come back to Jerusalem, as they said, "Rabbi, the Jews were but now seeking to stone you, and are you going there again?" A Jewish day had 24 hours, and it counted from 6 p.m. the day before to 6 p.m. the day after. For example, the Sabbath day is counted from 6 p.m. Friday to 6 p.m. Saturday. People can only work during 12 hours of the daytime because they had no electricity at our time. The night is divided by 5 watches, and it's the time for rest, not for working. That is why Jesus said to his disciples, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him." There are three things Jesus wants to say in this sentence. First, the time of our life are counted by God. If we want to do God's will, we should begin to do it before it is too late. Once our time is up, we can ask for more time to do it. This saying, the same saying Jesus said to his disciples in John chapter 9, verse 4. Secondly, we have enough time to work and no need to be hurried. Don't wait until water comes to our feet to jump. Lastly, we must use time to benefit ourselves and others. We should not be lazy nor waiting our time. In the four Gospels, Jesus had a habit to use the word that called irony. For example, the adverb anoten in Greek can mean again or from above. Udozon can mean drinking water or water that gives life. And in today passage, koimatai can mean to sleep or to die. That means to sleep forever. Jesus' disciples understood it according to the first meaning. So they said to Jesus, "Lord, if he had fallen asleep, he will recover." Then Jesus clearly explained, "Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. Second act, Jesus with Martha, Lazarus' sister. In the Synoptic and also in John, Martha was described as a person who is quick to act and to speak, while Mary is the one who are thinking more than talking. When heard of Jesus coming, she ran out to meet him and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And even now, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Martha believed Jesus had power to heal all kinds of sickness, but to raise up her brother from the dead, she never thought of. There is an important revelation by Jesus in his conversation with Martha about two kinds of eschatology. The future eschatology, what shall happen on the last day, and the real life eschatology, what is happening at the present. First, the future eschatology. Many Jews who were contemporary with Jesus believe in the resurrection and the eternal life as we found in Daniel chapter 12, verse 2, and second book of Maccabees, chapter 7, verse 14, and chapter 12, verse 43. Therefore, when Jesus said, your brother will rise again, Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection of the last day. The real life eschatology. Jesus said to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? According to Jesus, people don't have to wait until the last day to have the eternal life. If they strongly believe in him, they already live that life in present. The physical death is only the transition from this life to the next, while their relationship with God is unchanged. When people fear of nothing, even death, they are really and fully live. Martha prophet many theological title for Jesus. That Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, he who is coming into the world. Third point, Jesus with Mary. According to the tradition, the Jews wept for their deceased from 7 days to 1 month, depending on their relationship and love. Martha didn't know of Jesus coming. Mary didn't know of Jesus coming, so she continued to weep for her brother. When Martha returned and called her sister Mary, saying quietly, the teacher is here and is calling for you. When she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. When the Jews who were with her in the house consoling her saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Mary's reaction. Like Martha, when she came where Jesus was and saw him, fell at his feet saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Jesus' reaction. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. desert wept. Two Greek verbs were used to describe desert person are embrithmatai and tarasein. The first verb occurred three times in the synoptic, meaning to rohaibi someone to disclose what happened for them, and two times in the four gospels, verses 33 and 38 of chapter 11, and were translated as it deeply affected by the Spirit. Because this rohaibison, it happened for oneself. The second verb occurred 13 times in the New Testament, two times in the four gospels, meaning to disturb, and four other times is translated as to be tested. The Stoic don't believe God can be disturbed or tested by human beings. But the author of the letter to the Hebrew believe when Jesus put on the human flesh, he became like us in all aspects except sin. He had compassion for people, and many times in the gospel, the evangelist described Jesus had mercy for people. At the beginning of this chapter, the author says Jesus loved Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. He had compassion for them, and he wept when he saw their suffering. The four acts, Jesus with Lazarus. The Jewish race at Jesus' time aren't single race, but like the house of raves. Depending on the member of a family, the house of race is divided by compartments. It has the form of a sleeping room with bunk beds on two sides and a walking space in the middle. The entrance is closed by a big stone and can be viewed at the door. The dead is covered completely with bandages. The face is covered separately, and the whole body is embalmed with myrrh and perfume and covered with a cloth bag. The body is laid upon the bed until it is completely decayed. Then the remaining bones shall be cleared out to have the space for other member. Martha faith. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days. Martha might think Jesus went to see her brother's face the last time, but Lazarus' face was covered, and his body already had a stench. She might believe Jesus' power is only limited in healing all kinds of disease, but not in raising up her dead brother after 4 days in the tomb. Jesus emphasized that her faith in God can do all things, even raising a person from the dead. Did I not tell you that? If you would believe, you would see the glory of God. Jesus' faith in his Father. Jesus knows his Father always hears him when he asks for anything. The purpose of raising Lazarus is to enlighten the faith of the people who are standing around him, not for his own glory. He wants them to believe he is the Messiah sent by the Father. After he prayed, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with bandages, and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. Imagine that we are witnessing this scene, our whole body shall be chilled because of fear. Never before this moment, a person who was buried 4 days in the tomb is raised up because of a command. Fifth act, people reaction. Many of the Jews who had come with Mary and had seen what he did believe in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. So the chief priest and the Pharisees gathered the council and said, "What are we to do? For this man performed many signs. If we let him go on thus, everyone will believe in him, and the Romans will come and destroy both our holy place and our nation." What they feared became the reality later when the Romans completely destroyed the Jerusalem temple and the whole nation in 70 AD. About 35 years after Jesus' death. Not because of people's faith in Jesus, but their rebellion. The author used another irony here to speak about the purpose of Jesus' death. Caiaphas, who was high priest that year, said to them, "You know nothing at all. You do not understand that. Is it expedient for you that one man should die for the people and the whole nation should not perish?" Even though Caiaphas didn't know about God's plan of salvation, but he accidentally write about the purpose of Jesus' death. That is, to gather into one the children of God who are scattered abroad. The reason for Jesus' death. In the four Gospels, the reason for Jesus' death is clearly because of his raising of Lazarus from the dead. It is also the beginning of his glorified hour on the cross. The author concluded the chapter, "So from that day on they took counsel how to put him to death. Jesus therefore no longer went about openly among the Jews, but went from there to the country near the wilderness, to a town called Ephraim, and there he stayed with the disciples." Application in life. God has power on both life and death. We should completely trust in him and have no fear of the death. It is only a transition before we are live forever and happily with him. The Holy Spirit is the principle of life. We should live according to his guidance to have life. We should reject the lifestyle according to the plan. If we completely believe in God, we shall never spiritually die. That is necessary for us to enter into the eternal life. Amen.